Yep, to the yep. You already know what time it is, man. It's your girl POC. We back 900 AM WRD 96.1 Word Radio each and every Friday, bringing you that greener, safer Philadelphia conversation. We got a jam-packed show. Don't forget to subscribe to the YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe to the Spotify as we drop a new podcast once a week on Spotify, as well as our newsletter, so you can stay locked with everything we got going on here at WRD. And don't forget, we are on the brink of raising $20,000. So donate today to help keep these airways alive here in the city of Philadelphia. We appreciate everyone who has donated thus far, but to continue to donate, and join us on June 29th. More information will be coming out about that. So definitely mark your calendars. June 29th, we want you to pull up, pop out, as we have a cash mob in honor of connecting Philadelphia to WRD and making sure we raise money to keep Black Talk Radio alive here in the city. But let's get back to it with our special guest. I'm excited. We got Battalion Chief Brandon Wilson on the line, who's coming from the Philadelphia Fire Department. And we're going to be talking a little bit about how they're pushing an initiative up in the Strawberry Mansion area, but citywide at the same time. But I'm really excited about what's going on this week with the Strawberry Mansion section. Brandon, good morning. Welcome to Eco Word. Please introduce yourself and let the people know who they're listening to.
Good morning. My name is Brandon Wilson. I'm with the fire department for 20 years now. I'm the battalion chief of the Fire Prevention and Code Division. Our responsibilities are citywide. We teach about fire prevention. We try to be proactive as possible, but we also have reactive programs, which you just talked about, our Strawberry Mansion program, due to an unfortunate tragedy. We had to go out there and do some things, which we'll get some more details about, but also the code enforcement. So all these special events that you see all around the city, especially with Welcome America, our code enforcement is out there doing the same thing, educating our professionals, our vendors, working with our partners from LNI, OEF, police department. So we kind of do a multifaceted approach here in the city of Philadelphia, but one that tries to hit as many people as possible.
I love that. And Brandon, you've been doing this work for 20 years. You've seen a lot develop here in the city. Do you feel like the city is becoming more greener and safer just based on the work that you're doing?
Well, I don't know what part we're playing for all of that. We've continued to try and provide the greener, safer program. I know, I mean, if you're to ask my personal opinion, absolutely, I think we have a greener and safer city. I don't think anyone could deny that. Internally in the Philadelphia Fire Department, we're continuing to do what we've always done. We can't do it alone, as the commissioner says. We continue to work with our partners, and I think with the continued initiatives, proactively and reactively. Absolutely. Greener, safer, 100%.
I love it. And Brandon, I wanted to bring you on to talk about, a story, and it's so sad that it's heartbreaking. But it just recently happened in Strawberry Mansion, where it took a woman and two children, based on a fire that took place in the Strawberry Mansion section. Talk to us a little bit about what happened.
Yeah, extremely tragic. I'll keep the details to a very general format. It is a very, very tragic incident. Anytime we have a fire death, it hurts everyone in the community, including our first responders, our fire and EMS personnel. But this particular one, when you have multiple and you have children, it's always hits you a little bit harder. So in this particular case, like we do with every fire fatality, unfortunately, we have we have quite a few. Despite our best efforts of education, they do occur. Our reactive program is our fire fatality program. It's when we go out, we blitz the neighborhood. And what we mean by blitz is we come out, we knock on every single door of that effective area block, and then usually we'll get the perimeter. This particular case, again, with how tragic it was, even more tragic than usual, I guess you could say, we had a huge support from Pennsylvania state representatives. We had a councilman there. We had the police clergy showed up, a local church stopped by, all the media was there to really push our message of safety and fire prevention. And again, we don't want to have to do these programs, but they are a valuable tool that we have. So in this particular case, we installed nearly 100 fire alarms within a couple hour period. The commissioner was out there and talked to the press and the community leaders. Block captain was out there talking about what we do, emphasizing that we can't do it alone. That we are there for you, and we want to make sure that you guys have smoke alarms in your properties prior to any sort of tragedy, because it gives you your best chance of survival.
For sure. And that was one of the reasons why I wanted to bring, the fire department on to talk about this, because I feel like, after a fire, it actually hurts the environment around it, right? Because you gotta clear the air again, you gotta make sure people who are neighbors to the fire are safe and things like that, and make sure they have a house and a roof and over their head, right? And I wanted to ask, because when you go into these communities, do you see a lacking in fire prevention as far as the safety?
So, despite our best efforts, we work with so many people. I think last year we had 175,000 contacts with residents with all of our programs. And that's our best estimate based off of our counting. Despite our best efforts of working with the school kids, working with senior centers, working with the summer camps, with parks and recs, yes, there is still, for some reason, a gap in what we're trying to reach with these folks. We push the message all the time in social media with partners in media like yourself to call us if you need smoke alarms. The city will provide them. Mayor Parker and City Council has approved the budget for 2 years in a row now that allots a line item for smoke alarms, where in the
Beautiful.
past we've had to reply rely on grants or donations or council people taking money out of the discretionary budget to support their particular districts. In this case, we've now have allotted funding for smoke alarms, which has helped so much.
So
Last
much,
year, we
especially in Black and Brown communities where we're lacking these things as far as smoke alarms, right? Because you see in a
sure.
lot of low-income neighborhoods, where they don't even have, they you just hear it beeping all day because they haven't even replaced the battery, right?
Yeah, and it's unfortunate. Yesterday, when we were doing our news interviews, as we were doing our new news interview, someone must have had their window open, and you heard that low alarm go off, which we hear so often. Sometimes we'll even knock on the door and say, "Hey, we're here to install smoke alarms," and I say, "We don't need them." But then we hear the beep in the background. I say, "Listen, we don't want to impede. We'll be in and out of your house 5, 10 minutes. We want to talk about fire safety. We'll install alarms at the same time, and we'll be out of your hair. We just want to make sure you're safe." So it does take a little bit of convincing, despite, again, our best efforts to tell people we're going to be there. We're going to be quick. We're going to be non-intrusive. We just want you to be safe. Some people just think it's not going to happen to them, and we get turned away, unfortunately, a lot. But we're not going to stop trying.
I
We're
love
going to
that
keep
for
pushing.
I love that. And for those who are just tuning in, again, you're listening to the Battalion Chief Brandon Wilson, from the Fire Prevention and Code Division. And Brandon, that makes me want to bring up codes, right? Because we see a lot of developers coming into the city of Philadelphia, building different apartment buildings, building different high rises, things of that nature. Based on the work that you're doing, how are you implementing these things with these developers to make sure that they have, the codes and the safety to prevent any type of fires from happening inside of these new buildings that's going up in the city?
Yeah, so on the code side of it, L&I is the primary enforcement agency in the city of Philadelphia, but we provide the subject matter expertise to L&I whenever that's requested. I know the members of the fire code unit specifically take the education part of it extremely passionately. They're always willing to help, even though we get tons and tons of requests. We try to knock them all out as fast as we can. We do, here in the city of Philadelphia, if you have a developer who maybe is not reaching their minimum requirement, we do make sure we get out there and educate with our partners from L&I. We have something called a Board of Safety. We have Board of Building Standards. We upgrade the fire code, all those things to help make any sort of disaster when they do occur, because accidents do happen. We try to minimize the impact to the community. And again, L&I does a great job with that. We are their partner. We walk hand in hand with them. Commissioner Thompson just spoke with the Commissioner of L&I the other day about some initiatives, including smoke alarms. So we're all together as one team.
I love that. And that makes me want to go to my next question, because just like we had the devastating tragedy in Strawberry Mansion recently, we also had a tragedy in West Philadelphia where a vacant building, which was owned by a developer who's been lacking in the area of taking care of the building, it actually went up in smoke, and it was a large fire, in the city of Philadelphia, particularly in the West Philadelphia section, that displaced a lot of people around it because of how large the fire got.
Right, and we were very fortunate that there were no injuries or deaths on that particular case. Just because the building is vacant, as we say, or unoccupied, doesn't mean people aren't inside. So we're very fortunate that nothing
That's
like
true.
that happened. But
Squatters are a
we
thing.
are, yes, we are in a transitional time, and it's great that we're building so much housing stock. But we do want to maintain that they're doing everything up to code, and L&I has their hands full, and the fire department code has their hands full. Our particular unit approves fire safety high-rise plans, so. We are very much involved. We want to make sure those things are up to code. When they're not, they do come to see us at the Board of Safety. Sometimes they're cases we don't want to have to fix it or we can't afford it. And sometimes that's not the case. Sometimes we have to say, listen, you may not be able to afford it, but that is the fire code and we make sure we do it. And the commissioner has our support 100%. We're never going to let anyone take a step back when it comes to fire safety and prevention.
But I feel like within the past like 3 weeks, like I feel like between the end of May and right now in June, we have had so many different like fires that have caught a lot of attention, like even down to the SEPTA buses. How did you all take and manage that situation?
Well, I mean, luckily we have a robust department where we have the fire code, we have our fire marshals. We're also part of multi-agency response. So our fire marshals, ultimately the ones who are going to investigate this, work with the arson task force, who is made up of Philadelphia Police and ATF. So we rely on support. We're as good as we are, we can only do so much. So we require so much support from everybody else. And like you said, this is kind of an unusual thing. In the warmer months, fires kind of go down, but for whatever reason, and we're working on trying to track those trends through GIS software and trying to figure out what's going on in the city so that we can try to approach it and put that in our fire prevention programs. It takes a little bit of time to analyze that data. It takes a little time for them to come up with a final result of why these fires occurred, but we are going to address them. They're going to be part of our next fire safety campaign. We're always looking to these things. We're always working with our partners in the fire marshal office. We're always working with our partners in GIS to help map trends and try to address them as quick as we can. It is unusual that in warm months we're seeing such big fires.
Yeah.
Right.
And that makes me want to go to my next question as far as, with these fires happening and occurring, how are you guys clearing the air afterwards, right? Because after a large fire such as the one that just took place in West Philly, all you see is a bunch of smoke up in the air. So like, how does your department help with making sure that you're clearing the air and the air quality goes back to a breathable, let's say a breathable space once these things are done?
Yeah, I keep going back to it. That's partnerships, right? So we're dealing with not only just air, we're dealing with the water runoff. When these buildings burn,
That's real.
they're not burning just natural materials like wood as they were in the years past. Everything's full of petroleum-based products. So we have to deal with runoff not only in the air, like you're saying, but into the ground. So we work with our Philadelphia partners in the Health Department Air Management Division. If
Awesome.
we ever have a concern, or sometimes they're proactive and they come out on their own, they come out and they're going to monitor that air. Weather plays a big part. When it's usually cooler and less humid, things tend to escape a little bit quicker. When it's in summer months, the way we are now, where it's humid, the weather can be a bit stagnant. It does take a little bit longer for that air to recover. But the city's out there with the air management division, the water department's out there checking runoff and drains to make sure that we're not affecting the community in a way that's irreversible. Our goal is to try to return the community as it was before, if not better. And that doesn't happen alone in the fire department. It requires all of our partners in the city.
I love that. And Brandon, we have to go to a quick commercial break. But before we go to the break, please let people know how they can find more information about the initiative as far as making sure that they have smoke detectors in their home, a website, social media, if you want to offer that. And then right back after this commercial break, I want to make sure we jump right into the initiative so people can know that you all are actually boots on the ground doing the work. But how can people find more information?
Absolutely. You can go to Philadelphia Fire Department's website to get any kind of information on the fire department. If you need smoke alarms, call 311, get on the app or online. Sign up, we'll be there.
Sign up. You already know what time it is. We got to go to a quick commercial break. Right after this quick commercial break, we have more from Brandon Wilson talking about Philadelphia and how the Philadelphia Fire Department is actually helping and boots on the grounds when it comes down to serving the city, man. Stay locked. It's your girl, POC, each and every Friday. Eco word, eco word, eco word.